The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And where was my car, Gabe and Chewy? It was not in the spot that I had parked it in. There was some shattered glass where I had parked it in. And that, my friends, is how I knew that my car, unlike Jen's, because I actually went and looked, was stolen.
Do you believe this? Car was parked right out front.
Was the alarm on?
I don't know. I guess it was on. I don't know my alarm sound. I'm not tuned into it like it's my son.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Couple questions.
I'm here.
You had the bar right across the steering wheel.
I refuse to write to answer any questions today. I was in a secured parking lot on the fourth floor.
So you didn't put
the bar on. Obviously wasn't secured.
Well, now I know.
I don't understand. How do these thieves start the car?
They cross the wires or something.
Cross the wires? I can't even make a pot of spaghetti.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
Nearly missed the gun this morning. Nearly missed the start.
You're welcome.
Woo! I got a little sweaty there running into the studio. We were just sitting there. Ashley had left the production meeting, came in to get ready for the show. We're sitting there talking about Sean McVay and his F-bomb
hammered
rant.
Drunk. What would you do if we just didn't come in here?
I mean, I'd start talking.
To who?
What would you say?
But you already knew we were here. That's nothing. You don't know nervous until you start the open on Sunday mornings and Craig and or Chewy are both not there.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories about that is one day Craig didn't show up and I called him and he said, I'm not doing the show today. And I said, okay, well, who is? And he said, I don't know. But I had to play the ESPN National for 2 hours.
Oh, God. Imagine not being a control freak, Ashton. Imagine not. I mean, yeah. Ashton and I, we're kindred spirits when it comes to the control freak thing. Imagine being Craig and being like, I don't know. It's somebody else's show. Someone else is doing it. Cannot imagine. Must be nice. Good to have the whole gang back together. We were talking about the Sean McVay F-bomb rant about, hey, here's what we can do. We can bleep and go out and bleep and get this bleeping quarterback and win the bleeping thing. And we were talking about who amongst us would actually do that. Like, who amongst the four of us, there's a chance that you would get a little lit, right? Get a little partied. And
I wonder who.
I don't even think you need to get a little lit.
I don't think, no, I really don't. Or I'm always lit. I don't know.
So I just want to make sure. I'm glad that we put this out there. We're all in agreement, though, right? The answer is...
Muy bueno. We haven't had that drop in a while.
Well, say something good.
What do I do in Italy? Because we're going in about 2 months. What's muy bueno in Italian?
What are you looking at me for?
Say ciao.
Shouldn't you be talking to the, you know, Italian over there?
Yeah. Nah, ciao's too boring. It's got to have some zip, like T-bone.
That's not Italian.
T-bone.
Maybe if you put an O on the end, you get a little bit closer. What is very good in Italian? It's got to be pretty comparable to muy bueno, because all of those languages, they're similar, right? They're all Latin-based.
What's hola?
Hello? That's a good question as well. How do I not know any Italian?
Don't know. Are you
How
sure
do I know
Italian?
More Spanish than Italian? Ashley, you got the translation over there?
Muy buona.
See?
Muy buona?
I should have known buona. Yeah, I used to work at Joey Bona's. I should have known that bona meant good. Right?
I'm going to stay with... They would know what I was saying.
Oh, no. Here's what the internet says.
Molto bene.
Molto bene.
See, that's fun to say.
Molto bene.
That is fun.
You could you learn a little Molto Italian bene. Before you go?
Yeah, I got Angie. She'll just yell.
Does she speak Italian?
She knows a lot of swear words.
Molto bene.
Does that count?
I think it does.
Is she Sean McVay over here?
I mean, you asked if she knew any Italian. Technically, I think the curse words fall under knowing some Italian.
So she knows as much Italian as my 13-year-old knows Spanish. Perfect. Of course, he's been going to Spanish classes the duration of his time in school.
I mean, let me ask you this. Are languages in high school useless?
If you pay attention, they are not useless. And if you take anything other than Spanish, they are useless. French? No, French is good. French or Spanish, you're good. Anything else, you're wasting your time.
I had the greatest.
What about German?
It's a good cheat. I put my cheat sheet in the bottom of my shoe, and you just go like this. You flip the shoe off.
Yeah.
You flip the shoe off? What does that get you?
Like right here. You
put good for an audio medium. Crushing
now it might smell a little bit.
Yeah, it is Wednesday.
You put it on the inside of your shoe?
Right there.
Why would you put it on the bottom of your shoe?
Well, because you're walking around all day. Couldn't it fall off?
Just put it when you get in there, right? So you just put your foot up across, you know, you pull the leg across the thing.
I wasn't a cheerleader. So it wasn't that flexible.
Well, you just did it. That's what I'm saying right there.
Well, yeah, but you can't see the bottom of the shoe.
Yeah, I can see the bottom of my shoe.
But
of course, everyone else can also. Yes. So maybe that's the flaw in the old cheat technique. Did you cheat a lot in school? Or just the shoe one time?
What's your idea of a lot?
Define. My client would like to know your definition of...
If he's your client, you should maybe tell him.
I hated pitchers become catchers. That really bothered me.
Oh, now I'm going to need a translation on that.
I don't know.
Gabe, pitcher, become a catcher. You're wearing a hat.
Be careful.
Yeah, I'm...
Can you clean it up?
I'm dumping my client. My client is no longer my client. You're on your own, pal.
None of us know what you're saying.
Think about it, Gabe.
None of us know what you're saying.
Pitchers become catchers.
You can't keep saying the same thing over and over again.
What is it? How does a catcher wear his hat?
Oh, backwards?
Thank you. Welcome to the show. They would say that every time we go into a class at BC taking a test. Pitchers become catchers.
Who's they?
Because
they thought you had answers written on the...
No.
Dang it, I thought I was really onto something.
I had a hat, Jen. There. What's this right here? You can't see where my eyes are going if I'm a pitcher.
Oh, yeah. Glancing over there a little bit.
For anyone that can't see
you.
For anyone.
You guys
everyone.
Are amateurs.
Well,
what are we doing here?
I've never
this is survival of the fittest.
Given the immaturity of the show, when you said pitchers become catchers, I think we all thought something else.
Yep. We don't have to keep going after that.
I don't get it.
Well, that's good.
You know what? Go home and have Angie explain it to you later.
She can tell you in Italian.
Muy bueno.
Muta bene.
Molto bene.
So, you know what was not so muta bene? It was yesterday, guys. I'm coming back from Cincinnati doing a feature for ESPN, and I missed my 5:45 flight home.
A lot of sympathy from over there.
And it was nice. My producer at 4:45 said, Jen, it's 4:45. I was sitting in with one of my subjects, my interview subjects, and I kind of just waved him off like, no, I'm going to take this thing to the finish line. I don't want to just jump out. It's a very sensitive topic that we're talking about because apparently I only get the sensitive topic stories nowadays. That's how that works, apparently. And so then by the time we finished, I had missed that flight. So then I said to my guy, I said, hey, can you get me on the 6:45 to O'Hare? I can always, you know, get an Uber home or get a car service home, but O'Hare's a lot closer than Cincinnati as far as last night goes. Well, he leaves the room, goes and books it. It's about quarter to six. What am I, six at this point?
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to go. He's like, I booked you on the flight. You got to go. You got to get out of here. So now I am leaving. I was about to interview one more subject for this story. I am leaving. I am trying to fly to the airport. And it took about 30 minutes to get to the airport, so I'm pulling into the rental car place at 6:21. Now, Cincinnati's not a big airport, but there is a lengthy walk from the rental car place to the to security. I do have TSA pre-check, so usually that's you throw the bags up on the belt, you walk through, I don't take my shoes off, don't have to take my coat off, just boom, in. Could I have made it? Could I have made a 6:45 to O'Hare if I arrived at the rental car place? I'm not even talking about the terminal. The rental car place at 6:21.
And what time? The flight left at 6:45?
Yeah.
So doors close at what?
15:02, I think. It depends on the airline.
Yeah, it all depends. Yeah, it kind of depends upon the airline.
I don't think so. You think so?
I mean, it doesn't seem like it.
Too tight, right?
It seems like it was too tight. That being said, I mean, I thought you were training, you know, running. So I don't know if you got your run in for that day. It would have been a good chance to see.
Good job bringing that up. I'm going to put that on the back burner for later, Gabe. We're going to talk about that.
6:15, you could have done it.
I think so. Yeah, 6:15. And that's the thing. In those situations, every minute counts.
Oh, without
right?
a doubt.
Like, I got stuck at an intersection on the way there, and I'm sitting there counting it going, oh, we are at 4+. We're at 5 minutes at this intersection alone. Without this stop, I could have made it. Now I'm starting to think. So you know what I did? I drove home.
Which is 8?
6+. 6+. I was trying to make it 6-.
Cincinnati. 6+. Even Jen couldn't make it 6-.
I tried real hard to make it 6-. I ended up pulling into my driveway at 11:03. Not horrible, guys, but not great either when I usually go to bed at 9:30. What is the furthest you will drive in that situation? I think that was it for me. That was the max.
I got a 9.5-hour drive on Friday.
Yeah, but you're going on vacation, right? Like, yeah, you're planning it. This is like an impromptu, hey, no other option other than taking a spot down at the Comfort Inn. And then probably getting on a 6 a.m. flight this morning, missing the show, et cetera. Don't even comment. I know you guys would be like, ooh, that sounds good. Why didn't you do that?
I mean, we didn't get in that much trouble without you yesterday.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Yeah, we were.
Six. Is six the max, Chew? If I told you right now, you need to go right now, you need to drive somewhere, you know, you need to get to the hospital or whatever it ends up being, and you have to go, is six the max where you're like, I can do it in a drive, but I would rather not do it in a drive?
I would say 8. Yeah, I think I could stretch
it
to 8.
Yeah.
In an emergency, I think I could stretch to 8.
Solo, by the way, solo.
Yeah.
No co-partner, no other driver.
What's the longest you have ever driven before taking up lodging? I've gone 17 hours driving?
Yeah, I think the most I've gone is 13.
I've gone 14 when we drove from either from Chicago to Connecticut or Connecticut to Chicago. But here's what ends up happening. You hit that moment, right? You start looking at your map going, oh, we could stop here. We could stop here. You Cleveland. We could stop here in Pittsburgh, blah, blah, blah. And if you're feeling good in that moment, you just want to power through.
Yeah.
The problem is an hour later when you're like, I should have stopped at the hotel. Exactly. Should have stopped in
17,
Pittsburgh.
17, I was like seeing my grandmother asking her if I could throw up.
Oh, okay. Aaron Rodgers.
I was seeing deer on the side of the road that weren't really there.
What you're telling me.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Is driving 17 consecutive hours is similar to.
Yeah, you start to see things.
Having an ayahuasca 17 experience.
For me, it might be 20-something. For someone else, might be, but you start to see things. It's kind of trippy. And it was cheap. Didn't have to buy the ayahuasca for $1,500.
Ayahuasca.
What?
Ayahuasca.
He's putting hiawatha and ayahuasca together into ayahuasca.
The H or is silent?
No,
there is no H.
Maybe he just assumes
yes, there is.
In the there
middle.
Is no H.
In the
ayahuasca.
No, ayahuasca.
You're wrong.
Like Iowa and Oscar.
I've seen it spelled.
No, you haven't. The H is in the middle.
Whoa, where? Tell me where you've seen it spelled. You're telling me you're reading something?
Maybe northern Wisconsin.
See, this is why Gabe decided not to represent you anymore.
This is why you're no longer my client.
Is there a ayahuasca Wisconsin? I bet there is.
I doubt it.
I'm going to check.
I think you just think because you get high.
You throw the H in there, it's all good.
Ayahuasca.
What is the longest?
There is an H, you liars.
It's in the middle of ayahuasca. There's an H.
Oh, that looks like Alushia.
Oh, yeah. When I saw ayahuasca for the first time, guys, it definitely made me.
You go, wait, oh, that's how it's spelled.
It made me want to talk to grandma and vomit. Like, it's very trippy. The word itself is very trippy. It's an onomatopoeia, sort of, kind of.
No.
I don't think you know what that word
means. That's another version of onomatopoeia. The onomatopoeia sorta kinda.
Supercalifragilistic.
Yeah, that's
espialidocious. That's what?
I don't know if it's just that I'm sleep deprived, but he is cracking me up this morning.
Yeah, I think you missed the big guy.
we had fun yesterday.
We did.
It's like Chewy laughing at Ashton's misfortune, which, by the way, give the people an update, Ashton. Dude, where's your car?
Still gone.
Don't call.
There's
he wants to go.
No, no,
do
no,
the
no,
police
no, no.
work
Can
himself.
Can I do this real quick? All right,
let it go.
No, no,
don't call.
No,
don't
no,
do anything. No. Just let it go to the 7 days, call your insurance company and said it's gone.
Okay, listen here.
But the insurance company's going to follow up and call the police.
Are they?
Yeah.
No.
Insurance companies do whatever they can do to avoid paying out big sums of money.
You're
Just let it go.
Yeah, why? Why?
I have to find, because here, let me just.
No, we do need to get to the bottom of this, though, okay? Because again, I keep thinking that maybe every day we influence you a little bit more to come to the dark side. And it does feel at times with some of your jokes and some of your inserts. Well, we'll get into that a little bit later. The point is that you don't always need to be the good guy, okay?
Yeah.
So do not call on the car, Ashton, okay? Let them call you. And if they don't call you, then the car is more likely to be gone forever. Which is what you want.
But
you will be
I
more successful in this
counterpoint.
World if you do what I did and you cheat, then doing it the right way. Right? The cheating will overtake the knowledge. Take it from me.
Oh, yeah, you're a success story.
That doesn't
are you
make
on
sense.
My side?
No, I mean, I was until you said the cheating overtakes the knowledge. And
take it from me.
Yeah, that kind of hurt your case there, pal. Maybe you do need
rebound. Now you are representing
him again. Well, somebody has to. Look what he does on his own.
Stop sending mixed messages, please. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on. Your reaction, lots of folks weighing in already this morning on our old National Bank talk and text line. That number, of course, 800-990-3776. With their driving woes, their driving drama. I ended up driving 6+ hours last night because I missed my flight and then I missed my next flight. So I had a lot of windshield time on my hands last night. Give me your stories, your driving stories, your missing flight stories, your how far will you drive before you start seeing grandma stories. We'll get into that right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Again, I'm just learning about this. I don't know why I'm getting attacked like I'm the weatherman. I'm just delivering the message, pal.
I know. I'm sorry. But not really. You're up.
Percent times that Chewy says he's sorry and actually means it.
I'll take 14%.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Are you getting for the Green Bay Packers to finally get on the field in the preseason this Friday night? Gabe, I know your answer.
Why?
I can do. You just gotta ask
pretty
why.
Good.
Why are you so? You're the resident toad.
Yeah, but this isn't real. It's not real. I'm ready for real football. Like watching Jordan Love and a bunch of backups just doesn't do it for me, man.
Chewy, let me put this into words you understand. Like the deer you saw on the road when you were ayahuasca-ing. It's not real, Gabe is saying. Packers do get into action this week, Friday. But I have a question for you guys. Am I a Lions fan now? What is happening here? The Lions were on Hard Knocks last night, and I didn't get to watch the show because, as I mentioned, I was driving back from Cincinnati, pulled into my driveway at 11 o'clock. But I did see a bunch of those bite-sized, consumable clips being shared on social media, including Aiden Hutchinson singing Billie Jean. What is he doing? He was up in front of the whole group, too. He was, like, standing up there singing.
Yeah. That's their version of hazing. We had to do the same thing in college. Which was, as an 18-year-old from a small town, kind of traumatic. I remember what song I sang.
Oh. Wait, hold on. Should we
does
guess?
Gabe
well,
know?
So he's told this story before. I've heard this story.
So
I'm
cheating.
I'm trying to look at the bottom of my shoe, and my foot's just not flexible enough. What?
My name is Luca.
Luca. Ah,
I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Glad I've never seen you before.
I've literally never heard that song before.
It's a Suzanne Vega song.
You've never heard that song?
Never heard that song.
So I had never heard it until...
Her name is Lola. Heard that one.
My name is Luca. Yeah.
You can call me Al. I've heard that one. But what is...
Luca. The name of the song...
Ashley, you got it?
What?
I mean, it's going to take him a second.
I've never
the
heard
name of the song is Luca.
Who's it by?
Never heard?
Suzanne Vega.
Who is that?
Tom's Diner.
Okay, yeah, that one I got. That one I got.
So that's Suzanne Vega.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you've heard it. You have to have heard it.
So that's a one-hit wonder, though, right? Like,
it's kind of a two-hit wonder.
Yeah, because she had Luca. Apparently she had Luca, which I was not familiar with.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor.
I live upstairs from you. I got booed off the stage.
You know, that's not a shocker, buddy, especially given the way you're performing it now all these years later. So you do it, and then it's supposed to like be team bonding, right?
That's
the goal?
Yeah, you do it in the food hall is where we did it.
So So that video that has been circulating since that aired, even before it aired, they were teasing it. It made the team very, I don't know if it was just Aiden Hutchinson, who I already really liked, got to interact with him a little bit on College Game Day last year as he was making the run towards the Heisman Trophy announcement and award. But then there's Jamal Williams, who we all already really like. And Jamal Williams had a clip on Hard Knocks where he's hyping up the team. Take a listen to this.
Well, let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. When you're tired, think of last year and think of that f***ing record. Yeah. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f***ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. One, two, three. Lions.
I got goosebumps. That was awesome. That's what you need. That's what we needed and what we got in 92, 93. You want guys like that on your team. And you know why he's like that, or a piece of why he's like that? Because he played in Green Bay. Right?
Yep.
The standard is here when you play in Green Bay. Can people see me?
His hand is above his head currently.
We can see you.
Detroit is here. And Dan Campbell's kind of, that's
about
what
shoulder
Ron
height,
Wolf did.
And then he's slowly moving it up.
That's what Ron Wolf did. He's like, got rid of the turds. You know what I mean?
Is there any chance the Lions are decent? So again, that record he was referring to last year, 3-13, right? Yeah, that stings. That's going to hang with you. That's like a funk that you can't get out of your clothes type of thing. So he's trying to say, remember that. Remember that feeling. Yeah. Memorize that feeling from last year and how lousy it was. Don't sit there and be consoled by your paycheck. Don't sit there and be consoled by the fact that you are one of X number of thousand guys who are in the NFL. Be embarrassed. Be angry. Be frustrated about that record.
But Detroit won't be relevant. They won't be relevant, but if you remember back to last year, they lost a handful of close games. So instead of 3-14, I mean, they could have probably easily been 7 in the math. 7-10.
I like the math.
From now on, just say the number of wins and then say the math for the losses.
Because basically you're expecting everyone else to
but
do
you know
the
what
math,
I'm saying?
Which is actually kind of cool. Like, I'm challenging you to do something with yourself.
7 in the math.
I can give you all the answers.
Last year the Packers went 13 in the math.
Like this year, their goal realistically, I mean, everyone thinks they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're not winning the Super Bowl. But if they can get the 7 wins... or 8 wins, they're on the right trajectory.
So they've got some interesting weapons, right? Like, I mean, their problem is that Jared Goff is their quarterback still. But especially once Jameson Williams gets healthy, if he gets healthy this year, granted, he tore his ACL in the national championship game, which happened in January, so who knows when he's going to be healthy. But with Amon-Ra St. Brown coming on last year, DeAndre Swift is a versatile running back, T.J. Hockenson a really good tight end. Like, this is a team that could put up points once they get everybody healthy.
Can you work around an average quarterback? Can you work around Jared Goff if you have those other weapons? Can you figure out a way to neutralize or minimize his contributions and get those other guys involved? I know it sounds silly to say, can you get the wide receivers more involved without the quarterback?
Well, but that's what McVay did. You know, I mean, they went to a Super Bowl, right? They went to a Super Bowl with, you know, Jared Goff. Same thing with what Kyle Shanahan has been able to do with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I think Garoppolo might be a little bit better than Goff, but they're kind of in the same category where if you need to have that big play made, you're not going to be betting on them making that big play, which is why San Francisco ultimately decided to move on from Jimmy G. But you can find a way where, yeah, that's what the offense that Aaron Rodgers was critical yesterday. We listened to that sound from Pardon My Take. Like, this offense can get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly and allow the playmakers on the outside or your running backs to be the ones that carry that load.
They have to buy into that it's a progression. That's what's so with so many bad teams. That's the problem. They want to go from 3-14 to 14-3. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's better
takes
when you
years
say
to get
the
there.
Math.
And not only do you have to get rid of the players that are turds, you got to have good coaches. Because coaching, you can outcoach other teams that are better than you. We did it in 92. Our roster stunk in 92. Right, and we won 9 games. We went 9-7, and 6 of those games are probably because of the coach. Look at our coaching staff; it was unbelievable, right?
Yeah,
that makes a difference. So Dan Campbell, they don't. Not only do they have to get out the bad players, they got to get out the bad coaches. And I don't mean bad coaches like swear, you know, guys that just don't know football, that are babysitters, we used to call them. You know, so it'll be interesting to see where they get to. I think they win 7 games this year, Gabe.
So last year, Jared Goff, just to clean that up, he was the 23rd best passer in the NFL in 2021 as far as rankings goes by NFL.com. I ask if you can work around the quarterback. I think there are ways to do it, right? Keep his throws short. Don't make him go downfield. Just figure out a way to keep the offense contained. But here's what I want to know from a Packers standpoint. Can you root for the Lions?
No.
Like, but okay, just stay with me for a second, okay?
No. The answer is no.
I know that if you asked, can you root for the Vikings, what the answer would be, okay?
No.
That would be a resounding absolutely not, what are you doing, ayahuasca type of stuff. If you ask people, ayahuasca. Can you root for the Bears, right? Same type of thing, like rival, fierce. Rodgers has been talking about it on Part of My Take and whatnot and all that, and like the respect for the rivalry, even though the team has sucked for the last X number of years. But the Lions have been like the little brother of the division for forever.
Ever.
So, like, there's a part of me that thinks, like, as somebody who obviously supports the NFC North, that you could go, yeah, I'd like to see them have success. Do I want them to beat the Packers? Bleep no! But I'd like to see them be a little bit better because it's kind of like the rising tide type of thing. Like, all ships type of thing.
You can root for them as long as they're not relevant, right? I mean, like, if Detroit plays the Bears, who do you want to win?
Well, the Lions.
Yeah.
If
Minnesota.
Because the Lions are harmless.
Yes, that's why. As long as they're not relevant, yeah.
So I think, again, you said no immediately, but it's starting to sound
But here's the problem. You got to start thinking about the big picture here. Aaron Rodgers ain't going to be here
forever.
And if the Lions are starting to get better, and the Bears start to get better, and the Vikings, I don't like the way this is playing out. Even if Jordan Love ends up being the starting quarterback for your Green Bay Packers at some point, I still want there to be a team that you can beat up on. I don't want to be the team that the division's beating up on. That's... I know, so I am not rooting for the Lions to get better.
What if they get to the Super Bowl?
The Lions?
Yeah. They're in the division.
No, man, that's the
you
same
don't
thing
buy
as
into
like,
that?
Oh, I root for the conference. No, you don't root for your division. You tell me the Cardinals make it to the World Series, you're rooting for the Cardinals? Get out of here.
Lots of folks weighing in on this on Twitter when I put it on last night saying, wait, do I like the Lions now? Juan saying, Jen, this Hard Knock season is going to make it extremely tough to hate these guys as much as Packers fans should. Damn you, Coach Campbell. I think there is something to that. I think there is something to, we like to root for the little guy. We like to root for the upstart underdog, and the Lions have been that for a long time. And when they have likable people like Aiden Hutchinson, like Jamal Williams, and some of the other big names that you were mentioning, Gabe, I think there's a part of you that might be pulled too. I'd like to see them do better. It'd be fun to watch them go from 3 wins to, like Chewy said, maybe 7 or 8 this season. Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Can you root? I don't know. Cheer for, support? Do you want to see the Lions do well? As a Packers fan, understanding all of the machinations, understanding all the dynamics that we went over, Gabe said, yeah, maybe I could root for them when they play the Vikings. Maybe I could root for them when they play the Bears.
I feel like if I put this on the poll, I have to add some sort of context. Of, like, if they're irrelevant, can you root for them? Like, is that it? Is that the question?
I mean, yeah, I'm always rooting for them to beat the relevant teams.
Right. Like, other than that, who's gonna say yes?
I'm telling you guys, there is a resounding sentiment here from people who saw that clip last night
Packers
that were
fans?
Like, from, I don't know if they're all Packers fans, some Packers fans who said, like, it's actually hard not to. You know, Kevin weighing in saying, yes, we love the Lions. They are everyone's second favorite team.
Who's we?
I don't know. Kevin just wrote that in. My point is that...
We're back in!
We? No.
I think a lot of people saw that clip last night and felt a conflict of feelings. Like,
everyone's second favorite team? That's a bold statement.
This is such a leap.
Because, again, they've been bad for so long. There's a part of you that is kind of like, aww.
No, Gabe, you know what this is? This is from Mad Men. This is in the elevator with Pete and John Hamm's character saying, I don't think about you at all.
Yeah.
That's the Lions.
Yeah,
are,
but
I literally do not think of the Lions.
I feel sorry for you.
But we've talked about this before. When I watch a game, I have to have a team that I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
You guys don't have to?
No.
Why?
Absolutely not.
Because
I
enjoy the game.
No. You can't enjoy the game if it's like a tie.
Yeah, Chewy's right. I decide immediately when
yes,
I start watching the game.
Chewy
based on
right.
what the score
Holy
is, based
Chewy
on how it affects
right.
the standings.
Like the Rams,
all
against, yeah. better Rams against Cincinnati. Who'd you want to win?
Rams versus Cincinnati?
In the Super Bowl.
I mean, I was just watching the Super Bowl, man.
I wanted Cincinnati. You,
you were just
have...
watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah,
you didn't
I,
hope
I
that Joe
cool
Burrow
things...
could get it done. There
I was hoping that cool things
so
would happen.
So you have
and
no
it
problem kissing your sister.
This is not the
same
thing at all.
This is not the same thing as a tie. It's not the same thing
at all. Yeah, Gabe, tell us about making out with your sister.
Yeah. Suck it, Trebek.
Yeah, go do some math.
One.
As Milwaukee's Milwaukee's fuel economy expert for over 50 years, it's the Ewald Automotive Group. They know a thing or two about saving you money because, again, they've been doing this for over 50 years, especially when it comes to tires. With a lowest price guarantee, you don't have to worry about paying too much for those tires, and now they're paying for your gas, too. Don't stress about your next fill-up. You'll receive a $100 gas card with the purchase of four tires. Just another way that Ewald makes it easy. Make sure you go to their website and book that appointment now for those new tires at ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And a lot of these guys are going to get a blow. And guys, they need it. Because don't look at him like that. You know what I mean. They're going to get a rest.
Okay.
They're going to get a reprieve. They're going to get to nap.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm not saying it was your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, yeah, so. How could this be done with such a smiling sweetheart? Oh, and your sweet and pretty face is such an ugly one.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee. We were talking about the Lions and whether or not you could cheer for them. And then, Chew, you were saying, don't you need to have a team to root for if you're watching a game?
I always do.
Do you defer mostly to the conference? Do you defer mostly to, like, I want to root for an NFC team? Or do you, like, what dictates who you're rooting for in those instances?
It's usually underdog. You know? Like, this last World Series was the Braves versus, who'd they play? Angels? Don't laugh.
Well, I mean, just the Angels being in World Series is hilarious because every headline.
Not the Angels, the Dodgers.
Like, this is seriously a headline. The Angels homer seven times, still lose. Like, that was still a thing that happened.
Who was last year's World Series? It was.
I don't want anyone to
tell
him.
It was Braves Dodgers.
So that's not possible. They're both in the National League. That was the NLCS.
Is that math?
That's not math, no.
Who was in the World Series?
Nobody tell him.
Angels?
Nope.
No.
In that division, though.
The Braves.
You got that part.
The Braves is correct because the Braves won the World Series.
In that division? The Giants?
No.
Jesus.
That's the National League.
The Braves are in the American League?
No.
They're in the National.
Tampa Bay?
No.
Now at least he's got the right side of the ledger.
Okay, so that's the American League. But when you said Angels, I said that division, so American League West.
American League West.
I feel like, wasn't he talking about this team earlier this week or last week when
We've probably talked about this team quite a bit.
But he also was talking about how they have jumped from, this may be why he's getting confused, because they've jumped from one side to the other side, Chew.
Yeah, like 10 years ago. Come on, Chewy.
The Astros.
There it is.
Hey!
I mean, you're going to tell me you are not pulling for the Braves.
No, I was just watching baseball,
man. I mean, logic would say I'd pull for the cheaters.
Because you yourself are a cheater, yeah.
Right? But I wanted the Braves.
But, I mean, he doesn't, you know, Chewy.
Chewy doesn't always like have to choose a team that I want to win the game. Otherwise, why do you watch it?
Because watching sports is fun.
I think he's right. I think there might be no rhyme or reason to why you choose a particular team, but I think when you go in and you sit down, you go, all right, I'm rooting for that side. You just to kind of like have an engagement, an investment in it.
If there's an outcome of the game that will benefit my team, then I pick a team to root for. But if it's just a random, like,
can
week
you pull
one,
that? Pull that, Ashton. When you watch a sporting event, do you have to one of the teams? Yeah, Gabe, then why do you watch?
So far, you're wrong.
I can't watch sports just to watch.
But that seems like a personal problem. So Buffalo versus L.A., first football game of the year. You've already decided who you're rooting for?
A.O. You know why I go for A.O.? Because it's kind of our story.
I don't know about this. He wrote, need a rooting interest. I don't know that you have to have a rooting interest, Ashy. I think it's just picking a team.
That's a rooting interest.
It's giving yourself a rooting interest.
It's literally the rooting interest.
Okay. I just was saying, like, it doesn't have to necessarily make sense why you're choosing that team. Maybe today you just like blue better. So guess what? Go Dodgers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, like, there's something where you decide, you take in all the information, you're processing, and all of a sudden you go, ooh, that team has that guy. I like that guy. I want that team to win. I do agree, at you that it makes the experience a lot more interesting. Do you care who wins this weekend when the Packers take on the 49ers?
Absolutely not.
Not even a little.
Not even a half a cup.
Does it? But again, I think you are in the minority. I think most Packers fans still want the Packers to win, even if...
Well, yeah, I want them to win, but if they win or lose, it doesn't mean diddly squat.
Yeah, it's one
so
of those...
I just don't care.
It's actually one of those win-win situations. It's one of those win-win situations in sports where if they win, great, you can say that they won, but if they don't win, you're consoled by the fact that it doesn't matter.
But Gabe, this offensive line that they're going to trot out on Friday...
Yeah.
Could very well be the starting offensive line week one. So don't you want to see how they play? I mean, it could be an absolute train wreck.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's true, though. I don't know if who they're going to be trotting out there. I don't know if they're going to be trotting
out. Well, who
wouldn't Josh Myers?
Why wouldn't Josh? He's in his second year.
Because he's going to be a starter, and if he gets hurt, who's going to play center?
Then poor old Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You don't want to see that. They should probably have a period in practice called lookout blocks. Look out! Look out! Da-doomp! Yeah. That is the worst thing an offensive lineman... You guys all know what lookout blocks are, right?
Yeah. I do now.
It's when the left tackle gets beat and he screams, look out! Yuck-unk!
What would we do without your brilliant football mind?
John Madden over here making all the sounds.
Yeah, who's on Hard Knocks now? But, get you mic'd up over here.
But it's kind of, I mean, it's not funny, but it is kind of funny, you know?
So are you concerned? I mean, you are concerned about the offensive line, right? You're thinking that this unit, the way that it's currently constructed, can't get it done. Aaron Rodgers did address the offensive line when he stepped in front of the microphone yesterday. Take a listen.
There's definitely some spots open. There could be, you know, there could be interest in people not in the building right now. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to Goody about that. But we need to see those guys step up and somebody take it over. I feel good about Yosh. You know, he's played a lot of football for us. Royce has been working at guard and tackle. He's a smart dude. I feel like he's been playing more underneath himself with his feet in a better base. But we need consistency out of those guys. Those guys are going to play, too. They're all young guys. They're going to play in the preseason. And we need to see them play well and have some really good moments so we feel good going into Minnesota and that pass rush that they got.
Because Minnesota's good. Let's not forget they got Zadarius over there, and he's going to have a little chip on his shoulder, don't you think?
Yeah.
I just want to see, I mean, you're looking for the combination. They certainly, what Aaron's saying is we do not have the combination to the safe right now.
Correct.
You know what
there
got.
There are positions that are open.
He's saying essentially what he's got right now is a 50-cent state, 50-cent safe protecting $50 million.
I mean, some people can't crack that code.
So that's one of the things I'll be looking at probably the most because it all starts there.
Gabe, who do you want to see as the starting offensive line for Green Bay when they finally get out there in the regular season? Like, it's fine if they do musical chairs right now as they start to continue to work guys around, but who do you ideally want to see? And I don't know if you want to say, well, Bakhtiari, we don't know, and Jenkins, we obviously don't know.
Well, Jenkins, I'm assuming no. And I know Jenkins didn't rule himself out for week one. I am ruling him out in my mind for week one. Like, I just can't imagine that he's going to be ready to go with that ACL. So, yeah, I want to see Bakhtiari. Like, to me, Bakhtiari has to be out there. If not, like, what?
Will you be upset if they put him on PUP to start the season?
Bakhtiari?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me know what else is going on here. If you're not concerned about the ACL and you start the season on PUP, yeah, that's certainly going to be concerning. So I'd like to see Bakhtiari.
Would you not be concerned, Chu, if he's on PUP to start the season?
I would be more upset. Like, what are you guys doing over there? Right, you had an entire offseason to figure this thing out. Am I right or wrong?
Confusing.
I mean,
it would be confusing.
It would be very confusing. This is one of the best organizations in all of sports with every asset at their fingertips, and they can't figure it out. I mean, what are we doing here? You know, I would have ran him through if he's going on PUP. I would have been like, why aren't you putting him through a simulated camp type thing in May? You know? And just say, is everything all right? Yeah. We're good. We're good to go. We're going to be good to go in July.
I guess I'm hesitant to, like, sit here and all of a sudden be like, you know, really, really frustrated with the situation, because I guess I give them the benefit of the doubt. I assume that they're doing everything they can. I assume that he is doing everything he can, just based on the character and based on he's a guy who wants to play. There are other players who have come through where you go, I don't know if that guy wants to play. That guy might just want to collect a paycheck. I don't feel that way about David Bakhtiari. I don't think he's like, ha-ha, suckers, look at all the money I got you to give me, and now I'm going to sit here and never play again.
That's part of it. That's like, you gave this guy $24 million a year, and he got a pass last year. He got his $24 million essentially for playing what? 1.5 games?
No, not even that. He played 27 snaps.
And now we're going into this year, if they put him on PUP, I mean...
The frustrating part is, and I understand this is how the Packers operate and this is how most NFL teams want to operate. Look, just be a little more transparent with this. You know, let us understand what the hell is going on. Because if he's on PUP and there's reports out there, oh, we're not concerned about the ACL anymore, then what's he doing on PUP? Like, why is he over there? Why is he not ready to go? I want to know, just be a little bit more transparent, and then you don't have to be exasperated if you are, Matt LaFleur, oh, I can't believe you guys are asking me.
Yeah,
about
I know.
Game.
That's the stupid thing about it.
Well, no, they're going to continuously ask until you open up and you're transparent.
Is it cartilage? Is it his PCL? Is it his MCL? You know, otherwise we're going to speculate. And if you don't like it, then suck it. Okay? This whole covert, like, oh, we can't tell anyone because we are the smartest people in the world and no one else can figure it out. Yeah, we can figure it out there, bro.
But isn't it possible that this is just like the most anomaly of anomalies? Like, again, if it were a different player, I might sit here and be like suspicious, but I'm not suspicious at all because it's David Bakhtiari, and the way he has conducted himself and the way he has been there for the team and his attitude and mentality to me is like, he wants to be out there. Obviously, the relationship he has with Rodgers, you know, he wants to be out there protecting his blind side. So there's a part of me that's like, if he can't go, there's got to be a damn good reason for it. You know, and I understand what you're saying about we want to know what it is, but I also am giving the team and him the benefit of the doubt because I feel like he's earned it. So I don't, again, it just depends on each player.
But
in this instance, that's how I feel.
At what point does that run out? Because, yes.
Not there yet. I'm not there yet.
Because Bakhtiari, yeah, I give him the benefit of the doubt without, you know, I don't think he's somebody who's just going to be slacking off. I think he wants to be back. I think he's made that obvious that he wants to be back. But then let us know, man. Like, because patience starts to wear thin if we go into a second season without you, starting a second season without you in a row, that my patience is starting to wear pretty thin with the whole situation. I want to know what's going on, why it's happening, because the same thing, then you start questioning, okay, well, is Robert Tonyan going to be back in time? Is Elgton Jenkins going to be back in time? You start to question other guys who then have ACL injuries and go, well, look at Bakhtiari. Even if he's the aberration and he's the outlier, you have to explain why he's the outlier.
800-990-3776. Is your patience running thin with David Bakhtiari? We'll get to that and your reaction to an awful lot of stuff from the first hour of the show right after this.
Listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You think when I'm watering the plant and it's full, it's sitting there going, no, no more. You're drowning me.
I
please.
Do, and that's why your wife won't let you water the plants.
Literally.
Anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Question, do you think the Lions will be any good this year? And we're asking you because the Lions are obviously the subject of Hard Knocks. They've been putting out some pretty catchy videos already. Aiden Hutchinson singing Billie Jean, Jamal Williams breaking down and literally breaking down as he was breaking down the team, getting emotional. And Chewy, you said you got goosebumps listening to it. I mean, it was definitely like you can tell that he cares. There's a passion there. And I think people are drawn to that.
Love players like that. There's not enough of them, you know. Does he get playing time there? He's not their feature back, though,
no,
right?
No, because they have DeAndre Swift. Yeah. So he's, I mean, he still
but
gets time.
Those are guys you need. Those are good locker room guys, you know.
Mike B. weighing in saying they definitely had a culture change and will run through a wall for their coach. That's dangerous for other teams playing them. I can see them in serious contention for the wild card spot. Mm. Not to say they'll get it, but they will be relevant this year, unlike previous years. Agree, disagree.
I disagree. I still don't think they're as good as Minnesota. They're not as good as Green Bay. I just have a hard time picturing two potential wild card teams coming out of this
but
division.
But they could knock off some top dogs. Wouldn't surprise
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if they pick up a couple of wins here and there. I just don't think that they're at the spot where they're going to be competing for a playoff berth.
No. They're a year away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeremy in the 920 weighing in saying, I have no desire to root for the Lions. Seeing the misery and mediocrity of other teams in our division brings me joy. Don't let some little rah-rah speech make you soft. Derek from Cedarburg weighing in on the thing that Chewy was talking about when he asked you, who were you rooting for in the Super Bowl? He said, I wanted both Burrow and Stafford to win the Super Bowl. Stafford because I felt bad for him for all those years, and Burrow because he's just Joe Cool. But clearly, there you can have a rooting interest in both teams, I suppose. Like that to me is a good example of, yeah, both of these dudes are good dudes. I'd like to see them both have success. They both have, you know, if you're talking about Stafford and you're talking about the Bengals, have tough times and, you know, been mediocre and struggled and whatnot. Not that Stafford's ever been mediocre, just he was on a mediocre team. So there's a party that's like, I want to see them get theirs. Chef Ed weighing in saying, if it's not a local team, I always root for the underdog. I think there's a lot of people out there. Dave,
oh, there's
that are
a lot
like
of people. There's a lot of people that operate like that.
Is Cincinnati a step back team this year, though?
Yeah.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe Burrow is coming off an appendectomy, I saw.
Yeah, I know. And they got talent. I think they're one of those teams that take a slide back. Yeah, they got hot.
They got hot at the right time. Like, they're not as good as Buffalo is. I don't think
they're as good as Kansas City.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think they're number three at best. It wouldn't shock me if they did not win that division.
Baltimore?
Yeah.
Baltimore's got no receivers. Though.
Yeah,
that's
but they
the
still
problem.
Find a way to win all the time. It's ridiculous how Lamar Jackson continues to win, and the only weapon they want to give him is Mark Andrews.
Like, the AFC has got a lot of
deep.
Good teams.
It is
a
deep.
Lot of good teams. You know, you're talking San Diego, you're talking...
Hey, your Titans, Gabe.
You're talking the Raiders, who are going to be in the AFC Championship game. We don't know against who. There's a lot of good teams. Is it going to be AFC top-heavy again?
I think the AFC to me is the much better conference.
Yeah. Tennessee?
I mean, I don't know how they won the number one seed last year.
I don't either.
Gabe's guy.
They got to slide back a little bit this year.
You've been saying that for 2 years now.
Yeah, and guess what happened last year in the playoffs?
Well, it happened the year before.
That was good. I was following. And I was like, ha-ha, caveat. Dan from Salem weighing in saying, the only thing I cheer for is the spread or the over-under. There are a lot of people out there who agree with Dan from Salem. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on after this.